Environmental activist Erin Brockovich turns her sights towards a North Salt Lake medical waste incinerator. The city of Moab lobbies to bring in SkyWest Airlines. And members of Salt Lake City's Greek Orthodox community plan a meeting to address problems that have motivated the suspension of church services. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, August 16th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Environmental activist Erin Brockovich is turning her attention to North Salt Lake. At the request of residents, Brockovich and her team have decided to conduct an independent investigation into air pollution violations by Stericycle's medical waste incinerator. Angry residents and activists were protesting in front of Stericycle last evening, demanding that Governor Gary Herbert shut it down. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
Erin Brockovich wanted to be at the protest, but she's currently in Australia working on another case. Environmental investigator Robert Bocock works with Brockovich, and he says among the thousands of requests they get from all over the world, they decided to help the residents of North Salt Lake.
We believe that Stericycle has been polluting the community and the environment extensively for years outside of their operating permit. And they didn't get caught until they actually went for a renewal process, where the regulators said, well, wait a minute, you're outside your permit now, probably have been for several years. And so that's the kind of thing that we're looking for. And then just trying to understand exactly what pollution this community has been exposed to.
A major concern to Bocock is that residents were allowed to purchase homes and move in just feet away from the incinerator.
Because of that, because of the fact that they are out of compliance with their permit today, because of the fact that they are a sophisticated, they're a knowing polluter, I think that we do need to go into an immediate shutdown, an investigation, and then let them go through a reapplication for their permit. You know, permanent shutdown, I'm not ready to say that, but I think that the elected officials, I think the regulatory community, because of the violations that have taken place, they need to shut them down.
The Utah Division of Air Quality issued Stericycle a notice of violation in May for pollution and record-keeping violations. Governor Gary Herbert's spokesperson, Ali Isom, says the state is doing all it can within the bounds of the law to make sure the public is protected.
All options are on the table at this time. There are some confines legally that we have as government agencies, so we have to abide by the law and follow due process, that those processes have been initiated and are underway.
The state has given Stericycle a second extension until August 30th to decide if it will legally challenge the citations. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Members of Salt Lake City's Greek Orthodox Parish plan a general meeting later this month, hoping to straighten out some of the issues that have led to a suspension of church services. The Greek Orthodox hierarchy suspended services 2 weeks ago at the Holy Trinity Cathedral in Salt Lake and Prophet Elias Church in Holiday after the parish council imposed a pay cut for its three priests. An audit report sent to parish members this week said some of the spending from the church's benevolent funds was improper, going to members of the priests' families instead of church members or others in need. Phil Floor, a former member of the parish council, says that really shouldn't matter.
These funds are completely outside the church accounting and are separate and apart from stewardship and any other donations. Those who donated to the fund did so with the understanding that the dispersal of the funds was at the sole and absolute discretion of the clergy.
Floor has signed a petition along with hundreds of other parish members urging the council to pay the salaries determined by the church hierarchy and get the priests working again. The general parish meeting is set for 1 p.m. on Sunday the 25th at Prophet Elias Church. In the meantime, members are facing a third weekend with no regular services, no weddings or baptisms. Business and community leaders in Moab are lobbying for a switch in the air carrier service serving their city. Great Salt Lake's aviation has been getting a federal subsidy under the Essential Air Service Program to serve Moab, but it flies out of Denver. SkyWest would connect through Salt Lake City using larger planes. Bill Groff with the Grand County Airport Board says a big crowd turned out for a recent meeting on that question.
We had a lot of people, I mean, more than we normally do at a board meeting, mostly motel owners and people who are running tour operations, et cetera, like this, who are, their primary business is tourism. Their support for SkyWest is unanimous.
SkyWest would require a larger federal subsidy, about $2.3 million compared to $1.8 million for Great Lakes. The U.S. Department of Transportation will make the final decision.
Some of the families who live near the Rockport wildfire were able to go home last night. The evacuation order was lifted for the Bridge Hollow and Promontory communities, but it's still in effect for 110 homes in the Rockport Estates and Rockport Ranches. The fire is now 50% contained. Firefighters have revised the number of homes destroyed by the fire. They say it's 8 rather than the 14 reported earlier. Karen Wickstrom, who helped many nonprofit groups and local governments through her financial consulting firm, died unexpectedly last week. The Salt Lake Tribune reports Wickstrom worked with the Jordan School District and the Sundance Film Festival, among many other clients. She also enjoyed performing jazz standards as a vocalist with her own band. She was 54. The University of Utah has announced its first ever course examining the Book of Mormon as a work of literature. Instructor David Bakovoy says the class scheduled this fall will take a secular academic look at the text. He says the semester-long course won't get into issues including historical origins, translation, or authorship of the book. The University of Utah opened its new $32 million football training facility yesterday. It's named for two of its major donors, Spence and Cleon Eccles. The new facility includes a cafeteria, a sports medicine clinic, weight rooms, and a huge new locker room. The facility is meant to make the Utah football program competitive with other Pac-12 teams. Former NFL quarterback Steve Young and his wife, Barb, are scheduled to give the keynote address at an upcoming conference promoting acceptance of gays and lesbians in the Mormon community. The couple's talk is set for September 14th during the three-day Affirmation Conference in Salt Lake City. The Youngs are described as committed members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and have been active on LGBT issues in the past.
Every week, Dan Nayland surveys the entertainment landscape around Salt Lake, but nobody says everybody's always going to agree on his picks. You know, there may be some people who have been big names in music in the past who should be left there.
And I take it you think John Prine is one of those fellows, Brad.
I've been thinking lately about the people I meet, the car wash on the corner and the holder in the street. The way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet, I'm wondering if I'm gonna...
Okay, I differ in that opinion, certainly. And I came very late to the game to John Prine. I was not really old enough to know who he was back in the early 70s when he first kind of burst on the scene. And then he went through a throat cancer scare and had surgery and then came back from that. And that's when I first got into him, probably in the 90s even, and really became a fan of his songwriting. He did an album back then of all duets called In Spite of Ourselves, where he performed with Iris DeMent and Gillian Welch and different folks. So I really got turned on to him through that. Maybe it helped having those other songwriters and singers performing with him. But I've seen him a few times now, and he puts on a pretty dang good show. He sometimes acoustic and solo, sometimes he has a little trio with him. And I believe when he comes to Red Butte on Tuesday, he has a couple backing musicians. He's touring in support of a new sort of archival release that came out a little while ago called The Singing Mailman Delivers. And, you know, I think he's one of those guys who's probably underappreciated, especially among people, you know, my age who grew up like 80s kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's finding a new audience because he's lost.
His old audience is not sticking with him.
Grandpa wore his suit to dinner nearly every day.
What else is up?
We have some really good stuff this weekend. The English Beat, who I've talked about on here before, one of my favorites, they're doing a free show at the Canyons on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. So if you want to go up and get a little dance party on, that's a great option. Lyle Lovett, I don't know if you feel a little better about him than John Prine. He's playing on Saturday night up at Deer Valley.
Well, he dresses better.
He does
sure.
dress better. He's got a kind of that same quirky songwriter style, I would say, as John Prine.
And a better backup band.
Absolutely. The large band is great. And then Saturday down at the Gallivan Center, it's City Weekly's annual beer festival where you get all the great local brewers together in one spot at the Gallivan Center from 3 to 8. So that's a great chance to kind of check out some things. And I can't not mention on Thursday night something called the Sail Rock Tour at the Sandy Amphitheater featuring Christopher Cross, Firefall, some really not very golden oldies.
That's Dan Nayland reporting on entertainment for KUER. He blogs at slcene.com.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, August 16th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.